When you're privileged to be able to sit through the services, as many of us have been able to do through this week, and especially if you have the opportunity and the great privilege to be one of the speakers, when you reach this point, as I have right now, you can pretty much just say what they said and then extend the Lord's invitation. Because we're not saying anything new or anything different, or we shouldn't be. But we do want to emphasize what the theme of this meeting is and what has been said so many times over and over again about behold our King. We know how it was said in that initial context. But as we look out through the world, there are many people beholding the King. Now, they may not be doing it correctly, but there are a lot of people that talk about the Lord. They'll talk about what type of church they go to, or many times the phrase may be their relationship with Christ. And there are many, many people that want a relationship with Christ and claim a relationship with Christ. But as we compare their relationship with the Scriptures, we see it's very different. I myself have heard phrases such as, well, I am led by love and not by law. And then there was another one that told me one time about their own personal relationship and how they were teaching their children. And they said, I want my children to have a relationship with Christ, but not with the church. And you see how those things are, and I'm sure you could add to the list as well. And there have been different individuals through time that have literally and physically seen Christ, and they've wanted similar things. They've wanted special relationships, but it seems like more on their own terms. There were those, there was James and John in Mark chapter 10, verse 37 through 39, that had the idea of the relationship that they wanted, and they did, in one sense, what we would need to do. They went directly to the source. So they requested of Jesus this relationship that one might sit on the right and the other might sit on the left. And in essence, the Lord says, you don't know what you're asking for. But he asked them a question. He said, can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And he went on then, after they said, we can. And he said, well, yes, you will. But they didn't know what they were agreeing to. Remember, James was the first one to be martyred after the church had been established. His brother John, he was the one that then had to spend some Lord's Day in exile. And he received the revelation of revelation. Yes, they drank of the cup of bitterness. They partook of the baptism of trials, of death, and things very unusual that we would never understand. But they learned the true relationship according to the Lord's will, rather than the one of great glory and honor that they were seeking for themselves. In Acts chapter 4, as Peter was preaching, he was preaching to the people, and we find that he was pointing out to them what the relationship was supposed to be like. And he was pointing things out that people don't like to hear. He was identifying the King. He was identifying Jesus Christ. And then he did something unheard of. He was looking at the people, and after mentioning Jesus, he says that you crucified. Do we ever like it when someone mentions a sin, and then the one more or less points a finger or looks right at us and says, you did it? We don't like that. Don't like that at all. I have a black mutt at home, and he can do something, and all of his excitement, and I can point my finger at him and get on to him, and oh, he just melts to the ground, and he tries to just be about that big, feels terrible about it. Just point your finger at him. And sometimes we need a little bit more of that attitude rather than getting upset when people point out the flaw. And that's what Peter was doing, is pointing out the flaw so they might have the relationship in truth, in identifying Jesus. And Peter went on, and he was not very flexible. He was very strict in salvation. It is only in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people were set aghast at what he was saying and how he was saying it. And then they remembered, he has been with Jesus. Because Peter had had the proper relationship. So we see that there were conditions for it. And we want to look at some of these things. There are individuals that claim that they know Jesus. There are those who would claim, or they want to say, oh, I know the Lord. I have my own personal relationship with Him. But then when we start comparing the true relationship we find in the Scriptures, we see that it may be different. But what did the Scriptures say? In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 3, it says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. No, I wasn't looking at my Bible whenever I said that, but you know that's what it says. It wasn't my words. So we can know we know Him when or if we keep His commandments. There are those. There, John 15 and verse 14. Jesus says, you will be my friend if you do whatever I command. Now, I don't have that right to make that condition on our friendship. Jesus does. He's the King. If we love Him, He says, if you love me, John 14, verse 15, He says, keep my commandments. Repeated in verse 23, conditions are set like that. 1 John 5 and verse 2. He says, you call me Lord, Lord. John 13, verse 13. And He says, you say that well. He says, that's true. I am your Lord. But then the dilemma comes in. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Luke 6 and verse 46. And do not do the things that I say. He says in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But what? But he who does the will of my Father. And some might say, well, that's mighty narrow. That's narrow-minded. Yes, it is. But the Lord, the King, has that right to set these conditions. In John 8, there's the very familiar verse, and there's a lot of good verses on the lordship or on the discipleship for us in the book of John. But in John 8, verse 31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So it's not just a claim of being a disciple that makes us a disciple. But rather it is abiding in His word. It is obeying the commandments. It's doing what He says all the way through. It is conditional. If you do not have His word, we are not His. He told those people that knew the word of God. In John 5 and verse 38, those Jews who were discussing things of the Jewish law. And Jesus says, you do not have His word abiding in you. They could quote it. They could talk about it. But He said, it is not abiding in you. In other words, they weren't doing it. Just saying it or being able to repeat it or making a claim isn't enough. He said in verse 43 of John chapter 5, He says, I come in my Father's name and you don't receive me. Another comes in His own name and him you receive. You know, I think there were some of those head-shaking times for the Lord too. Maybe in His own way, maybe there was that phrase of just, I don't get it. We don't a lot of times. But He makes it so plain. We see how it is. Imagine the Lord looking down upon us and saying, that's a wise person. He can say that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He points out here. He says, the one who hears my words and does them, I'll liken him unto a wise man. Can you imagine that? The Lord Himself thinking we are wise. But the only way we can have that wisdom is by doing what He says. Oh, but people have their big ideas. They have a great desire. And we're not questioning anyone's sincerity in what they're trying to do. We're not questioning their zeal or their desire. It's just sometimes we get going the wrong direction. I've been with people who were totally confident in the direction they were going, where out. I wasn't with Bill, but someone like Bill. Off out in the hills, we'd been fishing. This other person was confident. This is the way to go. I didn't think so. He was confident, but it wasn't. We're lost. Confidence didn't get us back home where we needed to be. Romans chapter 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They have this zeal, and Paul says, I know they have it. I can substantiate their zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. Here's a scary thought. There is a zeal for God that denies God. Ever thought about that? There is a zeal, there's a burning in people's life to want to serve God, but in all actuality, it's denying God and His way. It's not according to knowledge. Jesus made it very easy for us. He says, just obey my commandments. He says, follow me. We have the words of the apostles, the inspired words. Colossians 2 and verse 8, he says, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. That's the love of knowledge. But philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Christ wants us to know Him by His commandments, to be His friend by doing what He says, to prove our love for Him by following His commandments. He wants us to be His disciple, His follower, His learner by abiding in His Word. He wants us to have a zeal for God, but according to knowledge. And very quickly, how are we going to get it? You know, we need to be dwelling on these things and filling our mind with the knowledge and keeping it ever present. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. There is a warning in Isaiah 1 and verse 3, the ox knows its owner. The donkey, its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. He wants us to. And we need to take the time to know and consider God's will. It's been mentioned many times in all the buttons and screens we have nowadays. Sometime we need to put them down, turn them off. How much time do we have to meditate on God's word? You go down the road and you can see two or three movies going on in the same vehicle as you go down the street to keep everyone occupied. You can sit down somewhere, anywhere, and immediately you see everything like this and the soft glow of the screen on somebody's face. It might be scary to think or to know how many text messages have been sent during this service. And I'm not talking about outside the wall. Need to get away from everything else, takes up all of our time, and get back to where we know what God says. We can know and behold the King and grow in our ability to give Him honor. We honor Him through knowing His will and obeying it. Have you done that in the gospel? Have you truly acknowledged you are my Lord and my King? Won't you obey the gospel and be committed to the fact that Jesus is our Lord? Make that change through repentance. Make the good confession of what you believe, that He is the Son of God, and submit to baptism for the remission of sins. If you've never done so, you can't. And if you can't bring yourself to come down the aisle and acknowledge that to someone here, find someone afterwards and let them know. You don't gamble with your soul. Have you strayed in some way? Sometimes the subjects of the King start ignoring the King. Let's get our attention back on Him. There's one of either condition that we can assist. Won't you come while we sing?